Lord, we will open the eyes of our understanding. Father, the Bible says that, Lord, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and that You will show them Your covenant. As we gather here, we desire to know Your secret in Your secret place, and reveal Your covenant to us in this end time. Father, I thank You for the covenant of the set fathers in this house. Father, I did not take it for granted. I thank You, Lord, for their lives of Pastor and Mommy. I thank You, Lord, for the years of sacrifice that they have sown into us as a body. But Father, as we go into Your word this evening, I humble myself under Your mighty hand. Lord, Holy Spirit, You are my teacher. I set You at my right hand. I duck under the covering of set fathers of this house, Pastor and Mommy, and I'm asking, Father, for a fresh release of Your grace that's upon them to be upon me, to help me to minister effectively as an oracle of God, as if You are here personally ministering. Lord, as I speak forth Your word, let that be a free course of Your word without any hindrance. Lord, let us, as I speak, Heavenly Father, the eyes of understanding to be enlightened, let blind eyes to be opened, let deaf ears be unstopped, let the lame leap as an heart. Lord, let Your word come out of me freely like rivers of water, being refreshing. Lord, causing us to be more conformed to Your image. Thank You, Father, for that You will do in our midst. Help me to redeem the time, not to say things that are unnecessary. I thank You, Father, for Your mercies. Lord, just thank You for Your grace. The Holy Spirit, thank You for Your love and help. We give You praise and glory for that which You will do. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. The word I believe God has put in my heart this evening for me to share with us is titled Pillars of Smoke. Let's say together, Pillars of Smoke. Let's say like we mean it, Pillars of Smoke. I was going through the weekly sermon that Pastor wrote some time ago about overcoming temptation. And I was going through it, and the Lord spoke to me. Then I wrote it down. Actually, what I've been saying, Pastor has thought on it long time ago and talking about moving with the clouds. And then Pastor Kunle also ministered along those same lines. And to my, I won't say surprise, all the messages that have been coming, you know, they kind of dovetail. Or let me just say, this is just part of what has been shared for the past few weeks, you know, by Pastor Boyega, Pastor Kunle, Pastor Larry. You know, this is just like a little bit of extension of what they've been sharing. So, Pillars of Smoke. Let us open our Bibles to the book of Songs of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 6. Songs of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 6. Are we all there? Songs of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 6. A question was being asked by the person who wrote this book. I believe it's Solomon. He said something. Let's read together. He said, who is this? Let's say together, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of a merchant? Let's read one more time. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the powders of a merchant? The person that was asking the question, he saw something come out of the wilderness all of a sudden. And he said, who is this? Or what is this, for God's sake? That is something I've never seen before. And he started to describe what he saw. He said that what he saw looked like pillars of smoke. Then as he saw the pillars of smoke, he also smelled something. As I said, perfumed with what? Myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of a merchant. Pillars of smoke. What do you mean by pillars of smoke? Let's look at another scripture that supports what I've said. Joel chapter 2 verse 30. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Joel chapter 2 verse 30. Joel was quoting, Pastor has taught over and over in recent times from this scripture. Let's look at it. And I will show wonders in the heavens, in the earth, blood and fire, and what? Pillars of smoke. The Bible says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everybody be established. Here, Joel is saying that the same thing. He said, God will show wonders in the heavens, in the earth, blood and fire, and then what again? Pillars of smoke. What are these pillars of smoke? First of all, before we move on, first of all, open to Revelation 12:1. Because it said, I saw, this man said, wonders. What are the wonders that he saw? He said, anytime we read our Bibles, the Bible uses symbols, types, and shadows to describe. But you see, I've discovered and still discovered by the grace of God that these types and shadows are actually trying to describe the Lord Jesus or us ourselves. Like Paul says, does God care for oxen? So when you read your Bible and see the Bible talk about, you eat this, don't eat that, it's not really, because is God interested in oxen? God is using these types and shadows. There are hidden truths inside them. And if you discover, the Lord opens your eyes to see them, you discover that there are things that pertain to us. These are prophetic things that are hidden in the scriptures, not it's for us to see. So here it says that, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with what? With the sun. So we can link that back to Joel now. He said, wonders in the heavens. Now, you know, Joel said wonders. In this scripture, there are two wonders here. He said, wonders in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head, a crown of what? 12 stars. Talking about the church. Next verse. It says, and she being with child, cried, traveling to what? Birth, and pain to be delivered. That is presently where the church is right now. To deliver the man child. Next verse. And there appeared what? Another wonder. So you see the wonders, the blood and fire, then the pillars of smoke. He said, another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. About to do what? Next verse. It says, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to do what? To deliver her child as soon as she was born. You see, if you see the devil appear here today, it doesn't look like a dragon. Neither does it have a tail. Like Papa Brown said many years ago, he said that tail is a false prophet. I think it's in Isaiah chapter 9:15. He said that tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven. It drew and cast them to the ground. He said the ancient, let's look at the ancient and the honorable is the head. And the prophet that teacheth what lies is the tail. We'll get to it later. Like the Bible said, I will make them of snare of Satan that do lie to come and do what? Worship before your feet. There's a lot of that nonsense going on in the church today. The false prophetic anointing. Instead of preparing God's people for what God is about to do, they are drawing them to the ground, the earth. Carnality. Back to Joel, talks about pillars of smoke. I don't want to go there again. Pastor has talked about the four blood moon tetrad, which is just right ahead of us. But today we are talking about pillars of smoke. What are these pillars of smoke? You know, they ask the question, Songs of Solomon said, who are these? In Revelation, we get the answer. Revelation chapter 14, verse 4 to 8. We get the answer there. What does it say? These are what? They which were not defiled with women. For they are what? Virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever it goeth. These are redeemed from among men, being what? The first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. So pillars of smoke here is not talking about a literal pillar. It's talking about a company of people. Fathers that God is raising up in this end time. So it's not talking about physical pillars. It's talking about people, a company of people. I'm not saying that they are not married there. He's talking about they're not defined with the spirit of Babylon. See, they are virgins. Bible talks about the 10 virgins, the 5 wise virgins, and the 5 foolish virgins. So we see there. So how we put a definition behind this? Say, who and what are these pillars of smoke? They are the end time apostolic and prophetic fathers that have been grown into the that have grown to the measure of a stature of the fullness of Christ, and have inherited the spirit without measure as a reward that God is bringing out of the wilderness. It is very important for us to understand that. They are the prophetic, the apostolic and prophetic fathers that God has raised up and have grown into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and have also inherited the spirit without measure as a reward. In the book of 2 John, it says that, look to yourselves that we lose none of those things that we have wrought, that we might receive what? A full reward. Which means you can have a partial reward, half reward, and then full reward. I dare to say, Pentecost, we've only been enjoying a partial reward, the earnest. That's why you find that in Pentecost, the building has not been able to stand the test of time. Because we have not seen this pillar of smoke. Not that we didn't have pillars. We had pillars in Pentecost. but you don't have a full measure of the power of God. This smoke we are talking about. So that house has not been able to stand. Let me give us one more example. Galatians 2, verse 9, to support what I'm talking about. When Paul was talking in Galatians 2, let's open there. Let's just mention it. He says that, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be what? Pillars. So we see that he's not talking about, he's talking about people. Now, Paul used seemed. Why did he say that? Because at that time, Peter was not behaving like a pillar. He was shaking, oh, jaw. At least by reason of time, he should not be shaking again. He said, who seemed to be what? Pillars, you know, perceived the grace that was given unto me, and gave unto me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. So what I want us to establish here is that pillars speaks of apostolic and prophetic fathers that have grown into the maturity of the fullness of Christ, and have also inherited the full measure of God's anointing, the spirit of that measure, as a reward. And they go no more out. So we need to understand that. Then what do you mean by smoke? I already mentioned it in passing. Smoke speaks here of the glory of God. If you remember in the wilderness, when they were going from Egypt to the wilderness, the Bible said that a pillar of fire and a cloud pillar was over them, leading them to where? To the promised land. So for us also, as children in this house, and even in your body of Christ, there needs to be this pillar of fire and pillar of cloud that will lead us to the promised land. If the pillar was to be taken away from them in the wilderness, what would have happened to them? All those Canaanites would have just finished them. They always got into problem anytime they moved out of under the covering of a pillar. You see, that pillar was symbolic. But as you can see now, it's talking about someone. Moses then was their pillar. They were supposed to, you see, the cloudy pillar they were following, they were actually following Moses, as Moses was following that pillar of cloud over. It was a literal pillar. Don't misunderstand me. But see, we're supposed to be following Moses. So when Moses went onto the mountain and came back and his face shone, they said, we don't want to see this thing again. I believe somehow that if they had looked in Moses' face, probably their own face would have shined too. Yes, because see, God didn't want Moses alone to be a pillar. God's plan, if you read in the book of the Old Testament, he called them, said, I'm calling you to be kings and priests unto me. But when they saw God come down Mount Sinai, they were all afraid. They said, no, go, look, Moses, you go. When you go, whatever you tell us, we will do. And that was why an entire generation perished in the wilderness. And God could only find two people, or two pillars, Joshua and Caleb, that were the leaders of the next generation. So God's intention was to raise them up as pillars also. God talks about the church in wilderness. So we see what pillars, let's put scriptures behind it. Isaiah chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Put in the Amplified. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Isaiah chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Let's read together. And the Lord will create over the whole site, over every dwelling place of Mount Zion. Notice in Mount Zion. It's not going to be in any place. Just in Mount Zion. And over our assemblies, a cloud and smoke by day, and a shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory shall be what? A canopy, a defense of divine love and protection. Very important. These pillars have perfected the love of God. Without love of God, one acts as a shield over their cloak covering. You see, when he's talking about Mount Zion assembly, don't think about physical structures. Anytime the Bible, you see now, at the back of our mind, when we talk about going to church, you are thinking about physical building. We are the church, ecclesia, called out people. So you see, it's not, you are not under covering because you are under the ceiling of this physical building. You are under covering because you are under the cloud that is emanating from that pillar that God has raised up. Let's look at the book of 1 Kings chapter 10, chapter 8, verse 10 again. Let's look at Solomon's temple. In the Old Testament, there were types and shadows. See, but in the New Testament, God now starts bringing out the reality of the scriptures. No. What did I say? Is it 8:10, sorry. 8:10, not 10. 8:10, please. Let's read together. And it came to pass, when the priests come out of his holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. Right now, the priests are coming out of the holy place. And they are moving to where? The most holy place. In the moment they moved out of the holy place, that means that I said progressing towards the most holy place, towards the veil, the glory came down. You see, up till now, most of the leaders in the church are still staying either in the outer court or in the holy place. They are content and satisfied to eat the showbread and use the light to eat the showbread. Are you following me? They are not seeking after what is inside the most holy place. Are you following me? Within the veil. Why? Because for you to enter the veil, which speaks of the flesh, you have to go through travel. The altar of incense that will take you from the holy place. But you see here, the moment the priest decided enough of this shoe bread we are eating, not that we won't eat shoe bread again, no. Just that the greater will swallow up the lesser. The moment they step out of the holy place to move into the most holy place, they desire for, the Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. There are three different kinds of meal you experience in tabernacle. You may be content to stay in the outer court where they kill the bullock and all that. It's for the general people. Anybody. Then we move to the holy place, you eat the showbread. And they use a candlestick to eat the showbread. They are selected people. When I move to the most holy place, very few people. It's fathers that you find that going to the space. We have not many fathers. Outside there, the Levites are there, they're eating. That's the jamboree we have in church today. In the holy place, you have a section of people, lesser. In the most holy place, it can't take everybody. In terms of size, it's 10 by 10. Are you following me? But you see, it's not that I can't take everybody. God has room for everybody, but many people will not make that transition. It's a straight and narrow way. But why the outer court is the way that leads to destruction? Destruction of the flesh. Praise the Lord. So we see that. So again, you see that's why Peter, that we mentioned earlier on, the Bible says there was a time in his life that he grew up. When he grew up, the Bible says that his shadow began to heal in the streets of Jerusalem. I want to say this ahead of time. You see, when that thing occurred, most people did not, Ananias and Sapphira, they did not know that God had set a pillar right before them. So when they came and stood before him, he said, why have you lied to the Holy Ghost? That same shadow that brought judgment to Ananias and Sapphira, in the same chapter, I don't want us to turn there, in the book of Acts, the same one about Babylon, said, as Peter, they laid people along the sides of the road, you know, so that his shadow might heal them. It's not a physical shadow. They were trying to describe this pillar, this power emanating from the cloud, the smoke, a magnetic field. Then that comes with that circle, fast force field, whatever problem you have, it will be solved. Are you following me? So that's what God is doing right now. He's raising pillars. And they are what? The Bible said they were smelling of myrrh and frankincense. That if you move near them, you see, apart from the fact that you see the smoke, something will be emanating. What is this? Myrrh speaks of sufferings. The Bible says about our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to sing for them, and he was heard in that effect, even though it was so, yet learned he was obedience by the things which he suffered. Meh. We're not talking about suffering sickness here. Self-denial. Are you following me? Frankincense speaks of prayer. Are you following me? In the wilderness, what we're talking about is meh and frankincense. They're part of the ingredients that God used to make what? The anointing oil that he used to anoint Aaron. It was all done in the wilderness. God gave him specific instructions. He said, compound it after the of the apothecary, something like that. He said, you must not put it on flesh. Don't just put it on anything. He said, it must not touch the flesh of anybody. It's an holy anointing oil. That's why God is not going to put it on anybody. It's not just anybody. They put it on Aaron's head. But also, if went down, and then some of his children about undying, they anointed them too, and all the vessels in the tabernacle, but they not anointed to be a crowd in the wilderness. Are you following me? Why? Because they were not under that covering. Not that God didn't want to anoint them, but they were not under that covering. Colossians chapter 1 verse 24, let's put the scripture behind this. Colossians 1 24, thank you Lord Jesus. It says that, Paul was talking, who now rejoices in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind the wall, afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. That's what man speaks of. These apostolic prophetic fathers that are coming out of the wilderness, they smell of myrrh. And their hallmark is frankincense. They are intercessors. I don't know, someone in the book, the sons of Issachar, when I think it was Jacob or Moses, just came to me now, when he was blessing, I think it was Moses, blessing the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy before he died, he said, Issachar he said he is couching under two burdens, and he saw that he loved labor unto tribute, something like that. The sons of Issachar, their hallmark is intercession. You see, because you don't have the backing of intercession, and you are preaching the word, have you found it? Okay, let us see. Praise the Lord. Say, Issachar is a strong ass, couching down between two burdens. They are burden bearers. Bible says, bear one another's burden, also bear your own burden. That's their hallmark. The sons of Issachar, they had an understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. There are few, I think there are about 200. Are you following me? So it's very, very important. Psalms 45 verses 1, and then we'll read 6 to 7. Psalm 45, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a pattern who we are following. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It says, my heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching what? The king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Let's move to verse 6 of time. 6. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Next verse. See, thou hast lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, what? God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Above John the Baptist, above all that were before him. Fellow Jews. Next verse. Oh, let's go to 16 because of time. 16. All what? Thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. Each time Jesus Christ, the Bible says, you wake up a great while before dawn. You go to the story, you go and pray. That myrrh, frankincense. So when they came out of the wilderness or his house, the wilderness does not have to be a place where there are no trees or something. They are symbolic. Each time they came out, that's what heaven will be smelling. Not Christian Dior perfume. That's what heaven will be smelling. I'm not saying we're using perfume, but I'm not saying that will be what will be emanating from him. Are you following me? So, the next verse, 17. It's not only, instead of what? Thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in the earth. So you have a man child. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did when he raised the disciples. That word that you see, their children, is not children in terms of, I will explain later, you know, in terms of age. There's a change of guards here. A rumor was on so-called fathers, those Pharisees. So Jesus Christ has set Peter, James, John, including Judas, princes. That's why he said, you guys, you're going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. He said, look, he said, glory, he said, you're happy because these things that you guys are saying, he said that the elders of those days, they were long to, and they couldn't see it. That's exactly what is happening to us in this house. Pastor and Mommy God, they will open the scriptures to us. Why? Because very soon there will be a replacement of fathers and put princes there to replace them. So that word you see there, children, in Hebrew is Ben. It means builder of the family name. This element has been teaching us to pray about the Spirit of God being upon us as seed and as seed. There needs to be, this blessing we are talking about, needs to be on one generation to the other generation. We'll see as we go on, because that's the problem with hard things. There has not been continuity in the body of Christ. After some time, the thing will come down again, then God will raise up somebody again, and then it will start all over again. Judges, time of judges, thank you, sir. So the last thing I want to mention for more is wilderness. What does wilderness mean? It's a place of trial and testing. So those guys that we saw on Mount Zion, they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They are not the ones that believe that he can have a crown without a cross. Are you following me? So Hebrews chapter 3 verse 8, talking about that. It says that, you know, in time of provocation, in time of temptation in the wilderness, it says that, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, where in the wilderness. The wilderness is a place of trial and testing. And we all have to go there. Not to go to the wilderness at all is not to come out as pillars of smoke. So there is no way out. But see, still again, you cannot go on your own. Are you following me? God is presently bringing out these apostolic and prophetic fathers out of the wilderness. And I believe that they are not the only ones that others that have followed them in, that are coming out with them. Praise the Lord. They are following the example and the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they are following. So automatically that same smoke, so to be glory, a measure of it will be upon them. Now, what I want us to see here is that glory was what Adam lost in the Garden of Eden. He had his own temptation in the garden. Jesus had his own in the wilderness. You can imagine. I would have thought that it would have been easy for you to overcome the temptation in the garden. They were just too comfortable. So Satan sold them a dummy. The same temptations they fell that made them lose the glory, the same thing that Jesus Christ had when he was in the wilderness. Let's not look, Pastor has thought about it, but let's not look at it from Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 to 7. The same temptation, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What does it say? It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, pride of life, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. At times it's not so good to be too comfortable. See, when you're in the wilderness, you're not thinking about, that was all God was trying to teach the children of Israel. One of them, giving them manna every day. Wanted them to get used to a regular diet. So when they got to the promised land, where they will have all kinds of stuff, they will still maintain the national diet. But they refused. They wanted leeks. They were like, look, why can't we be eating all this one? They were not content. I found that, yes, sir. My soul loaded this daily manna. But what I want to see again is that, you see, nobody starts as a pillar. You cannot start as a pillar. You start as a reed. Then you move to become a rod. Then you become a pillar. You go to the wilderness. Then you come out as a pillar of smoke. John the Baptist also went to the wilderness, but did not come out a pillar of smoke. He fell to the pride of life. You see, the Bible doesn't say explicitly, but you see, every sin of commission is a sin of omission. If the wilderness is a place of temptation and trial, and you now come out, and you saw that you did not submit to Jesus Christ, I said, you will increase, and I will decrease. I did not decrease. I mean, it's the same temptation I came against Jesus Christ, came against him, and pride of life. So I can't leave this ministry. So when he came out, we play back on what we saw, or what happened in the wilderness. Now, when Jesus Christ entered the wilderness, we discover, from what Pastor has taught us, we also see in Scripture, Bible says he was led of the Spirit to the wilderness, and he came out in the power of the Spirit. Now, when he came out, he went to John. Oh, no, sorry, before he went to John, rather. He said, John said, you need to be baptized. He said, no, suffer here for now. He submitted to him. But look, what Jesus Christ was like, look, as far as I'm concerned, if God doesn't want to give me this thing again, I don't mind again. John, so have your way. But John was not willing to do that. So he went to the wilderness, a pillar, but he did not come out pillar of smoke. But also, he was in the wilderness until the day of his showing. So he had that problem. So he carried down. So no one starts as a pillar. Let's talk about Luke chapter 7, verse 24, and we'll read. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's read that. And when the messengers of John, let's read that. When the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. Jesus Christ asked the question three times. He said, what went ye out into the wilderness for to see? I follow me. A reed shaking with the wind. Next verse. But what went ye out for to see? Second time. A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in the king's courts. We'll come back to that. Next verse. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, I'm much more than a prophet. Those that you see in king's palaces are the likes of Jonathan. You see, when God told David that he should move to the cave of Adullam, Jonathan knew that he was supposed to follow him. But he preferred to stay, what's the comfort of me, for him, in the world, in the palace with Saul, to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And it cost him. It cost him everything. You see, he believed that if I stay, he wasn't sure. What if David should die? And I die with him. That means somebody else will be king. So what I'm talking about, raising up a pillar, is not physical. You're not going to raise as a pillar because of your natural birth. Yeah. Even though it's open to you. So that's what Jonathan thought. He said, I mean, Allah is too much for me. I can't do this one. What if you go and die in the wilderness? There is no guarantee. Even though I know that someone has anointed him, if I have a witness, let me just stay with my dad, Saul. So he stayed there. In his heart, he said, I'll be next to you, David. So he stayed in the palace. And that was the end. The day he chose to go back was the day he died. Just like the day that John the Baptist decided not to follow Jesus Christ, that was the day he died. That day he died. Even though he was walking around, just walking corpse. What's a matter of time? Anytime you step out of the will of God, or you are in disobedience, I follow him. If you don't quickly retrace your steps, from that moment, you have entered, you are going downhill. Downhill. So that's what happened. Say, what went he out to see? A reed shaking with the wind? No, you don't find reeds in the wilderness. You don't. Say, so what? He said, what were you guys looking for? Which means just I was saying, look, listen to me. John was a pillar. Are you following me? But see, reeds, they grow beside water. They are not rooted and grounded. I follow me. For you to survive in the wilderness, you have to be rooted and grounded in the midst of all kinds of adversity. Your roots must go down. I'm going to be higher up. In the book of Mark chapter 4, I believe, he talked about the seed that fell on the rock. Pastor Kule was teaching a few days ago. He said that prayer will pray from Ephesians. He said that God will grant unto me according to be strengthened by his spirit in the mind. That Christ will dwell in my heart by faith. That I become rooted and grounded in love. A pillar. So I'll be able to do what? Comprehend. That means if you are not rooted and grounded in love, you cannot comprehend what is the what? The length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of the love of Christ that passes what? All understanding. That same love that took him to the cross. The length, the breadth, the height, and the depth. That's true, of course. You have to die to self daily before you can be rooted and grounded in love. But like when that reward fell on the rock, he said, along with joy, he said they sprang forth. They were happy. But they had no roots. Like Pastor was sitting on Sunday. They did not dig deep. The fact that you have revelation does not mean that you are building on the rock. It's a deception of the enemy. There's so much revelation in this house. About prayer, about life scriptures, about all that. But if you are drawing life, are you visualizing that pastor was teaching us already? You're not building on the rock. But say, I'm not with joy. They sprang up. But what happened? But say, when persecution and affliction arose, why? For that word's sake, that revelation that God gave you. Said they were offended and they fell away. There's a falling away. We're about to experience the body of Christ. Because one, people don't have an understanding of the rock, revelation knowledge. Two, those that have it, some of them think they are built on the rock. They're not built on the rock. The only reason why, the only time you will know what you are built on, when this persecution and affliction comes and you stand, they're not built on the rock. You see, that Jesus Christ told God told Israel, he said, I'm taking you by this way across the world with just 11 days. He said, but I want to show you what's in your heart. He said, I know, maybe it's just an 11 day journey. God, you don't need to do that now. We'll obey you, we'll command men, don't worry, that's small. That's what we say, offering in our hearts. God said, no problem, let me take you to maybe just 11 days. Oh, yeah, start the journey. An 11-year journey, a day journey, became 40 years and I think 11 months. 40 years. Not 40 years. And I'm asking myself, she won't run on me. Didn't they think? Didn't they think? God have mercy on us. So let's check ourselves to make sure we are building on the rock. So like I said, you do not start as a pillar. You start as a reed. And then you become a rod. They become a pillar. But see, the thing is that you can follow David. Are you following me? Into the wilderness. You can follow the pillars that God has raised up before you. Into the wilderness. So they can keep you until you become a rod. Become Aaron's rod in the wilderness. And then from there, you become a pillar. Are you following me? So let's look at it. You see, as Pastor said, this speaks about our spiritual growth. Reed speaks about little baby to little child. As Pastor has taught us, it takes about 7 years. 7 years does not mean that I've been coming to church all the time. In 7 years of those that have been diligently operating the seven pillars of instructions of the fathers. So you can't be, say, I've been in church for 7 years now. I'm now a little child. No. You are still a baby. So the next stage is the rod. The rod is, you know, from little child to young man. That's about 7 to 14 years. And then fathers or pillar, young man to fathers, takes about 14 to 21 years. This is the life of Jesus Christ from the age of 18 to 33. Also David and then Joseph, as Pastor has taught us, of diligently obeying the instructions of the pillars that God has set before you. Let me give you an example. If Pastor Larry comes down, God forbid, and I say, I have malaria. And he says, okay, take this medicine, take this one twice daily. And I don't take it. And I say, I'm healed. I'm deceiving myself. So if you don't build on that rock by practicing it, you're not. You're still a baby. And that's the sorry state of the church. We see this also in, when I was thinking about it, God showed me an example. Again, you find it in the lives of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. We all start as a Martha. That's where you can start from. God does, you get born again, then you just find the kind of service in the house, you're running up and down. Fine, it's good to start at that level. If you notice in the book of John also, you have to say Martha was always cooking. We always, as a spiritual baby, we tend to substitute obedience for sacrifice. Running helter-skelter, what would Jesus eat? Oh, it's good at that level. But see, when you become a rod, Mary now has to swallow up Martha. So Mary swallows up Martha. What happens to Mary? Mary now begins to sit at the feet of Lord Jesus Christ, keeping the weightier matters of the law. Now, you cannot say, I'm no more a Martha. I'll only be a Mary. You'll be entering into serious problem, pride. Because when the occasion comes for you to be a Martha, you say, I teach you the law. There will be a serious problem. But see, the Mary must swallow up the Martha. And then Lazarus must end up swallowing up Mary. Because God has called us to sit and to eat with him at his table. You have to go through that like Lazarus. Thank you, sir. So that if something comes against you that has to do with death, the master will come on the scene. You see, our friend, Lazarus sleepers, let's go and wake him up. It's our friend. Those are the prophets. So anything that comes around them that has any kind of death, could be anything, not physical, let's just think natural now. The master will come. You know when he went to the Bible, he wept. Jesus Christ, I think, wept twice in the Bible. When he was trying to teach them something, Jesus said, oh, Jerusalem, you started weeping. The second time he wept again was at Lazarus' tomb. Pastor says he wept. He wasn't weeping. The reason why he raised up Lazarus was he knew that Lazarus was recovering from Mary and Martha. If Lazarus should be taken out, Mary and Martha in no time will go out. Let's open to John chapter 11. Let's put some scriptures behind before we move on. Thank you, Lord Jesus. John 11, chapter 2. Let's look at two, just one or two scriptures and we'll move on. It says, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. We'll come to that anointing very soon. Next, verse 5. Therefore, now Jesus, listen, Jesus love matter many things. While I teach, but you don't understand. By reason of time, you'll be a teacher. I follow. Say, by reason of time, you're still an elder-skelter. You're cooking for me. Sacrificing obedience for, what's sacrifice obedience. So he said, love Martha and her sister and what? Lazarus. 11. Let's see verse 11. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This thing said he, and after that he said unto him, our friend Lazarus, what? Sleepeth, but I go to wake him up. Friends, the Bible speaks of those that speak to God face to face. Moses, Abraham, my friend. The prophetic ministry. You show intimate things to somebody that is very close to you that you can trust, like I said later on. But the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him and will show him his covenant. We are very privileged in the house for Pastor and Mommy to come and show us what God is telling them. Most of these we are hearing, we can't hear it outside though. By this time it was outside, this service would have ended. Everybody have been dropping money somewhere in no time, and they will say, I'm blessed. So he said, let us go and wake him up. But you see, I saw something here. Later on in chapter 12, because Martha still did not grow, she kept on serving. Mary, because she had stood under the word, listening to Jesus Christ, she knew what was about to happen. And he took that ointment, that spikenard, and used the water sweet. Now the question I want to ask you is this. Did Mary have that same, Martha have that same oil spikenard? Because they were not married, so to speak, in the house. In those days, what they used to do, they keep it and keep it, you know, before marriage night. But she did not understand purpose. So when God made a demand on, let me use this so I can understand, on Mary's career, leave your education, come and serve me. Instantly she did. Because she understood the time. But Martha kept her own. How just Christ told me, this thing you have done is going to be for a memorial. Only God knows what happened to Martha, Martha's home. Probably ended up Martha's teaching. You see, that's what I'm saying. Right now, you see, once that spirit, that measure manifests, there will be a demand on you to forsake all to follow him. That's what happened to Peter, James, and John. They were fishermen. He said, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. If you like, don't follow me. He said, in the day of your power, your people shall be willing. These are things you should expect. That's what happened after Azazel began. People like John Gillick, and John Gillick was a lawyer. He forsook all. Took off and went straight to South Africa. He had never been to South Africa before. No money, nothing. And was a very rich man. By the time he got there, God had, these are the things you expect to. So don't hold to your spike now. I've been all these years, I'm a doctor. So God doesn't want me to. No. It is for the kingdom. So when that thing comes, you will make a demand. And Jesus Christ is not going to come, he's not going to come with a literal vision. He's going to come to those that carry that same unction. Say, Lord has need of you. You have a choice. Either you behave like a rich young ruler and turn away. Or you forsake all like John, James, and Peter. Praise the Lord. So that is what happens. Nobody becomes a pillar immediately. We start as a reed. But God gives us time to grow. You know, he gives us time to grow. Because our destiny is to become pillars. If you look at the structure of this house now, you have all these pillars here. Can you imagine if these pillars were not there? If they can't hold this building, they cannot. So the cry of every father is to raise up pillars. God the Father is bringing out these pillars of smoke from the wilderness. That is our cry. And they are about to come out. So the cry of the fathers also is to raise up pillars for continuity. You're about to say, we're not talking physical here. It is those ones that you raise up as pillars that will continue. I checked something recently. I was just checking. I said, God, this man called Wigglesworth. Is it that there was nobody to carry his anointing? Somebody raised 21 people or so from the dead. I was amazed at what I saw. Apart from all the crowd that must have been following him with what? He had 5 children. The first one was a girl, Alice. She was deaf. Till the day she died. His last born died. And I checked the names of the children on the website. There was nothing to write about them.
you're under a ministry of that kind of person. We are still talking about Wicked's World today. And none of the spiritual children, so to speak, could carry that anointing. Physical children. God has to go and raise Lester Somera. He will come up from America to go and visit Wicked's World. You know why? They felt that while I was watching Pojo, how can you read the Bible 5 minutes and pray 3 minutes? But nobody is talking about them today. We are talking about Wicked's World, their father. There is an onus upon us to become pillars. The problem that has been with Pentecost, there has not been any stable pillar. And that has basically been because the children, not us, most of the people you have, they despise the instructions of their father. If you are here, sorry to say, and I see saying, probably you guys preaching and say you have to pray deep, and say deep, God, deep in your heart. I won't say the negative. You are still a reed. Because if you understand from that prayer, with this spirit upon you, upon your seed, upon your seed, why is it so important? This generation we are right here now, this generation is going to be here till the rapture. So this temple must stand strong against the onslaught of Satan. It must not fall. It will not fall. And if we say that you don't want to be a pillar, let me give an example. Lord, give me something about this. You know you can see pillars here. These are ones you see. Do you know there are pillars outside that you cannot see? Walk towards the corridor. There are some we cannot see. So it's only us. God through Pastor Ahmed, there is no pillars worldwide. So you are better align yourself and make up your mind that, Lord, whatever I will take, I will fall them to the wilderness so that you can partake of that bold anointing. It's not only us. It's so, I said, so simple. If you go to the corridor, that if the ones on that which is toilet there, they're like square shaped. Different kinds, diverse kinds of people that you have not heard of. The seventh other that are hid in the cave. Yes, so it's important for us. Same thing happened to Moses. You see, if your children, I'm sorry to say, I'm not getting on children today. If I would advise parents, when your children wake up, go and listen at the door and hear whether they are traveling or not. Make sure. Don't leave it to chance. Don't leave, because God expects that. I know Abraham. He will what? Command. Because some of them don't see these things yet. So as far as they are concerned, you were talking about this thing for the past kingdom. I can't see any difference. Where is the glory? I've been this. When will this happen? So like they despise it in their hearts. So what they are saying, that when it happens, I will see. Thomas' faith. And there are thousands that are outside there in diaspora that have not seen, that are running with it. There was this rich man. I'm using a natural example so you can get a spiritual understanding. We thank God. There's this rich guy, I won't mention his name, some time ago. You know, he was very rich, used to boast about his money. You know, he had a football club, he had an airline. He was so rich. Who know him? He's dead now. But I don't want to mention his name. But you know what I'm talking about. After some years, after he died, they brought out an article in the newspaper. All those things that he set up, Kinnikon Babes, bookshop, airline, newspaper, everything gone. No son to carry it. You labor and say, okay, this is your inheritance. And they squander it. It's not their fault. But the strong men retain riches. They were not strong spiritually. We're not talking physically here. That's a natural example. So God has to raise up pillars. Pillars are coming out, but we also must make up our mind to change from a reed to a rod, from a rod to become a pillar. So I can be continuity to the rapture. Praise the Lord. So very, very important. If you see, I was thinking about this. If you look about, that's why you can't turn back. Like Lot's wife. God sent an angel to him. The origin of disobedience was a literal angel. But that angel can also represent the messenger of God. He said, go quickly, move. He said, they lingered. He said, he held their hands. Let's go. By force. Go up to him and say, no, let me search for this little one. The guy said, okay, no problem. Go ahead. You know what Lot's wife did? She looked back. We must not look back. Bible says, we are not of them that draw back unto Baal, but of them that believe to save my soul. That is the type and shadow there. Don't look back. Say, he that looks back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. It's not fit for the kingdom. She looked back. Instead of becoming a pillar of cloud, in that sense, she became a pillar of salt. Why did she look back? You know, when she heard those thunders, she said, hey, Ajo, yeah. Gold. Ah! She remembered the gold, the silver. The Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Her heart never let me do angel tell them. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, said, if they had been mindful from where they came, they would have gone back. That means her mind was still in Sodom and Gomorrah. She never left. In her mind. And by she was, if they had been mindful, that was what was on my mind. That was thinking about money all the time. So when the angel came, and I'm asking myself, for God's sake, the angel, not it wasn't at the she saw the angel. Oh. Because the angel entered, no way I'm going to misbehave with them. The Lot is a so she saw the angel face to face. She saw it's not, it wasn't like, okay, Lord came and said, okay, let's go. And angel spoke to him. No! The angel came inside. Lord's wife saw the angel. At the end of the day, can you imagine seeing an angel give you a message? And still doubting. Like Zachariah. Thank you, sir. So what else do you want to see? Even Rachel. You see, the dangerous thing about this is the way which I saw it. You see, I'm just trying to talk my heart. I want to move on. Rachel. You see, there's all you need to discern. The pastor has been preaching. You need to discern. Pastor Kuhn also mentioned it. You need to discern those that God has set before you. If you don't discern them, you will not obey the instructions because you think it's a natural man talking to you. One of the problems that Rachel had was this. She knew Jacob as Jacob. She did not know him as Israel. Because when he wrestled with an angel, he had sent them across. He was alone. You see, when God told him, he said, oh yeah, pack your things and go. All that Rachel could see was that, Jacob, Baba, this is my husband, he's a trickster, supplanter, oh, to the bar, Baba me. She followed, said, okay, we don't have anything, so they left. But she did one terrible thing. She took the idols of her father. Because, you see, she did not see that God has set another father before him in the person of Jacob. You know why? The Bible talks about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All of them went through the process of dying, death. Are you following me? So Abraham had his own time. Are you following me? Abraham had his own. Bible says he considered not his dead body. That for you to be a father, you have to go through the death process. I'm not talking about physical. Isaac too went through the same process. That's on the altar. Jacob too had his own as for Jabok. So, but before then, he had, you see, when these things happen. Let me calm down a bit. There was a time that mommy, we used to call mommy Sister Tokumbo. So she just came out and said, God says you're calling me Mama Sarah. You were not there when she wrestled with God, so to speak, and her name was changed, that she had become a prince with God. And her power with God and with men. You were not there. So the only thing that will save you is dot dog. So if she comes and says, guys, move, God is what God is saying. She said, he start talking, so give it for me. Can you so? Then you carry the idol you're not supposed to carry. Then you sit on it and hide in that camel skin. Scorner. The camel skin is very hard. It's a hard heart. God told him, he told Rachel, he said, let's go to Bethel. He said, they should bring all the idols. The Bible said they brought all the idols, but the idol never left Rachel's heart. So when they got, they left Bethel, the house and pillar of God, she was not made a pillar. So by the time they watched Ephrath, she died. They now wanted to put the blame on the son. And said, Benoni. He brother, no, shut up, Rachel. It's not his fault. It's your fault. said, you are not Benoni, you are Benjamin, son of my right hand. It's your fault. Don't put the man on that blood, boy. Why will God announce to Jacob and tell your household to bring the idols if they didn't have idols? Where did they get the idols from? Jacob didn't take idols to Laban's house. He didn't. So those hidden things are in the heart of dishonesty. We need to renounce them. When God gives a commission, move to Bethel, the house of God. We are ready to go because that's where the pillars are going to be set. She ended up dying. You know what Jacob did? Jacob to raise a pillar for Rachel. Is that in the Bible? I don't want to. Let me turn here. Look like I know what I'm saying. Genesis chapter 35. Let's verse 20 for time. 35:20. Okay, Jacob called his 35:20. So, and Jacob set a pillar upon her grave to show her what she should have become. Called the pillar of grace till this day. You know, it's not a question. Let me give you. It's not even a question of making a mistake. Even though don't go out to make a mistake. But when you have those idols, you need to say, honey, that's in terms of Rachel, because you know Jacob likes him. I have a problem. I'm carrying these idols, so I don't know what to do. You know, Jacob is the one that swore. He said, to whoever you find your idols, may the person never live again. He didn't know. He didn't expect by reason of time that you have any idol. So when he came and he said, when Laban came and chased him, I said, where are these robbers? He said, how can you be accusing me? Blah, 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 blah. I just released the cross. Oh, the Lord. Later on, for us to know, when Joseph had his dream, long after she had died, God still played back what he expected to happen. He said, I saw the sun and the moon bow down to me. Rachel was the moon, but she never bowed down. She never went to Egypt. God played it back. You know what you should have done? Even if he made that mistake, Jacob would have cancelled it. Numbers chapter 30, verses 5 and 8. Numbers 30, 5 and 8. There is so much authority that God has placed over the pillars of smoke. Listen, what does it say? But if our father, a step back. Talking about it, somebody should make a vow to God. Let's get the principle. It says, and our father hear our vow, and our bond wherewith she had bound her soul, and our father should hold his peace at her, then all our vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she had bound her soul shall stand. That is, the father heard about it. Now, let's think spiritually. I say, okay, you're on your own. That thing will stand. If it's a counsel, if it's whatever, it will stand. Next verse. Say, but if our father disallow her in the day that he heareth, not any of our vows or of our bonds wherewith she had bound her soul shall stand. And what shall the Lord do? The Lord shall forgive her. Because her father was disallowed it. Covering. So if the said fathers come, you have a big problem. Hey, God, when I was just, I made a covenant with you. Don't worry. It's okay. It's fine. And when my pastor said, they pray for you. It's gone. If they keep quiet, they won't keep quiet. I follow me. But if you keep quiet, you're your own. Verse 6. Verse 8. The same thing also applies to husband and wife. Yes. See, it says that, but if our husband is either, I don't want us to read the entire story, that he heard it, then he shall make a vow which he vowed, and that which she uttered with her lips, wherewith she bound her soul of none effect, and the Lord shall forgive her. As a husband, though. Yes. You see, we need to recognize authority. Yes. Rachel's problem. She did not discern Jacob as Israel. He kept looking at him as Jacob. Terrible mistake. So I have to ask, wives, how do we see our husbands? Same thing applies to husbands. How do you see your wife? Pastor sees mommy as somebody standing in the office of a prophet. Anytime mommy says, honey, I think I have something. Pastor says, I said, he doesn't even say, hold on. He says, come, just come. It's a principle to learn. We need to design each other. Mm. I said, I talked about Sarah. He said, Sarah submitted to Abraham. Call him Lord. He knew when the change happened. He said, he said, you should, if you read in 1 Peter or something, he said, he used the word fair.
If you go and read the Ephesians, when our husband and wives as Christ, the last verse says that, and wives should submit to their husband with reverence. Let the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now we are talking about a husband that is standing, or let me say, moving towards becoming a pillar. Because those things, that's how God set it to. That's how He set it. You can't change it. You can't change it. So it's very important for us to see that. So we need to, we children, spiritual and physical, how do we see our spiritual parents? This is very important. You know why? If you don't, the degree to which you see them or how you see them will determine whether you obey their instruction. Because the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. I dare say, it's amazing. It's the signature of the devil. If you go to a doctor and you're about to die, and say you have to take this one, won't you take it? Now, do you know what they gave you? You are not there when they mix you. You don't know the CO2, whatever. You don't know. But we take it. Submit to it. Why? Because you don't want to die. But if your father comes and says, hey, this is about to happen, everybody make sure you are praying, so and so, this is... What is he doing here? We need to change this attitude. We need to see. It's the devil. Because he does not want that tabernacle to stand. He does not want those pillars to be raised. Praise the Lord. Like I said, it's our destiny to become pillars. Why is it important for us? This message, I believe God wants me to share about pillars of smoke. Point number one. We have come to the final hour of temptation and has come to try them that dwell upon the earth, including the church, and only pillars in the temple will stand and those that are connected to them. Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 to 12. There is a temptation that is coming against the world now, that it will only take pillars and those that are connected to them to stand. Believe me. I'm talking right now from experience. I will mention that thing. Let's Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 to 12. As he said, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write this thing, said he that is holy, he that is true, he that had the key of David, he that opened and no man shutted, and shutted and no man opened. We said this before. Said to the angel, he did not say to the saints in Philadelphia. God submits to authority himself. So I believe God told me, you better submit to what God told the angel and told you to do. That's why I said, let him have here, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. But I can't say, actually say to the angel of the church of Philadelphia. Next verse. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou art a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Next verse. Behold, I will make them of the temple of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Next verse. Because thou hast kept my word of patience, I will also keep thee from what? The hour of temptation that has to come upon the world, said that will come, but now it has come on. To try them that are upon the earth. Move to where it talks about pillars. He said, if that overcometh, will I make a pillar in my temple? If you overcome those temptations, then God will make you a pillar. Verse 12. He says, him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and shall no more go out. Are you following me? He says, shall no more go out. And write upon me. I don't want to continue with the rest. But he says, I will make him a pillar. I will no more go out. If you are still shaking like Judas, the Bible says that, and Judas, when they gave him the sword, he said, he went out immediately. Never became a pillar. Now, James, and what's his name? Paul should have been saying, those that seemed like Judas, Peter, but he wasn't there. But he took the sword and he went out immediately in the night. What are we saying? You see, we need to understand the times and the seasons and what we ought to do. If you don't understand, you'll not be able to cooperate with God. And when a temptation hits you, you'll fall flat on your face like that house pastor we were talking about. There's an abounding iniquity.
Paul says that iniquity will abound, and the love of many will wax cold. Majority of people. It doesn't put your name there. But if your love is not waxing hot, it's waxing cold. Lukewarm. But the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. Their love started waxing cold. What makes your love, if iniquity is abounding, and make your love wax, what is the other side? But they love not the world. And the things that the world. That means you already started yielding the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. So you see, you are supposed to love the Lord. I follow him. So if your love is waxing cold, that's a check for you. That I force of iniquity is already affecting you. Because that is the aim of that force, to make our love, God forbid, to wax cold. But our love will not wax cold in Jesus' name. Because if you don't overcome what happens, God will be defined, he will not be able to make you a pillar. And that deception will sweep away a lot of people. Two thoughts shall be cut off. Zechariah 13. You don't have to turn there. Let's look at Luke chapter 8, verse 13. I put it in my 13. Talking about the parables who are. So I call, it says, look. 8:13. It says that they on the rock are they which when they hear the word, they receive the word with joy. Perfection is possible. The end time. When that glory comes, they're going to do miracles and signs and wonders. Everybody's happy about that. Are you following me? Then it says that, and these which they have no root, which for a while believe. And in time of what temptation, they fall away. This is that time we are in now. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 to 7. We have come to that hour of temptation. It's still the same temptation. Coming against the loss of flesh, the loss of eyes, and the pride of life. You know, Satan has increased the intensity. In the time of Jesus Christ, they'll just turn stone to bread. Nowadays, you see, I meant that people are turning to bread. The void is abounding. But the good news is that Bible says, where sin did much, grace did much more abound. So we should not be afraid. But the antidote is grace, abounding grace. And to get that grace, you have to be humble. Pastor always says, increase humility. As the days unfold, your humility will be increasing. That is the antidote to the abounding iniquity. Well, it says, let no man deceive you by any means of that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. You see, before, don't be afraid about this bank something, the Antichrist is coming. You be concerned about now. He says, before that, he says, except there come a falling away first. Forget Antichrist. If you don't fall away, you're going to cut off with rapture. Are you following me? So he says, first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Next verse says, he who opposes or exalts above what is called God, that is worship, so that he as God seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Are you following me? The temple is you. Yes. He's not talking about a temple in Jerusalem. Yes. It's all inside you. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, Bible says. Yes. The building of the Lord. Pastor Egar was sharing on Sunday. He said that, look, I as a wise master builder have laid the foundation. Let every man take it how he builds. So if you are building God's temple, you have to build according to divine pattern. God told Moses, you better listen carefully. Said, make sure you build according to the pattern given unto you on the mount. Everybody was supposed to go to the mountain, no? And see the pattern. They were not going. That's what happens when you don't seek God for revelation. When all you are living about is second-hand information. You yourself, you have to go to, why did Joshua make it? When Moses will go to the mountaintop and come back, but his servant, he will wait there. I'm sure the Bible does not say it. Caleb must have been his friend. But the actual two words together, they agreed. So, God was able to raise them up as pillars for the next generation. Next verse. Oh, you've gone to get back to Thessalonians. Let me finish. Okay.
So you see, Bible says that, okay, let's read Zechariah chapter 13. Just support, I'm saying, there's a fall away coming on. It has already started. Just like the Bible says in positive, it says that it does not yet appear what we shall be like. But when we know that when it shall appear, we shall be like him. Already, if you are doing this, you should be experiencing a change in yourself. Even if it's so little, it doesn't matter. So on the other side too, a lot of Christians are drying up. Seriously. Instead of them to humble themselves, like the prodigal son and run back, they are doing shangri. Are we there? Zechariah says, and it shall come to pass that in the land, said the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off, and one die. But the third shall be left therein. Next verse. And I will bring the third part with the fire, and will refine them as silver is fine. I will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name. I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall, say, the Lord is my God. All those idols that are still there, the vestige, the grave clothes, let him alone. All those grave clothes, God wants us to remove them. Because it's not going to stand. You see, God, we are talking about this grave code or the pride of life. If you still have the pride of life, what will save you while you are walking when you are under covering? You see, so when the tension of the pride of life comes, and they come from your village, and they want to make you a chief. Just an example, just pop up, man. You're not going to say, it's true now, I want to serve God. They're going to make you a chief. Are you following me? So, because those things, there are some of those things that are still in our hearts. You know, or you are here now in this church, they have not made you a pastor or intercessor or whatever. They have not called you publicly. But then, whoa. Then you jump out. They say, there's one church there. You go and be the elder there. Like Lot. He was the elder. He sat in front of Sodom. Oh, you are in the choir. They've not given microphone to sing before. So you are tired of it. So you go and say, oh, mister, I want to work on an album. But I check your motivation. Those that, they're very subtle. Motivation. Why do I want to do this thing? Is it the pride of life? Is it loss of the flesh? Loss of eyes? Am I doing because somebody is doing it? I say, we have renounced the hidden of the stones that we no longer handle God, you know, deceitfully. You want to become a pastor because of money? Is that a motivation? You will see. You see, nowadays I've learned one thing. When I see those things, I don't criticize people again. If you have not had a Barnabas experience before, don't boast. Until the floods come, the rains descend, and the winds blow, then you know where you stand. Don't boast, though. Don't boast. Bible says, let him that is putting on his harness not boast on how much is putting off his harness. Don't boast, though. Don't be too sure. When you enter that place and you come out, praise God. Thank God, though. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? We talk about this abounding iniquity. You know? So the second point I have here is that I mentioned it because of time. It says that God raised up the tabernacle of David and setting the pillars therein. That's my second point. I mentioned the temptation that is coming against the world. That's why we need to be pillars. There's a scripture I forgot to mention. I mean, just came to me now. It's a book of Isaiah. Isaiah 22, I believe it is. Isaiah 22, yes, verse 20. It's very important we mention it. I just remember, Lord reminded me. Isaiah 22, 20. It says, and if you link that, you can link it to the revelation that we read. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Micaiah. Next verse. And I will clothe him with a robe, and strengthen him with the girdle, and I will commit the government unto his hand, and shall be a father. So we're talking about fathers here. To the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. The house that enters perfection. Next verse. I first believe. Next verse. And the key of the house of David will lie upon his shoulder. So it shall open and none shall shut. And it shall shut and none shall open. Next verse. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and it shall be for a glorious stone to his father's house. That means he will no more go out. Same thing that we're talking about, the book of Revelations. Sure place. Next verse. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring, the issue, all the vessels of small quantity, from vessels of cups, even to the all vessels of flagons. That is, those that are connected to him. Now, there is a pillar that is going to fall. Next verse, that God's about to remove.
And in that day said Lord of hosts, shall the nail, the pillar, that is fastened in a sure place be removed, and be cut down and fall, and the burden that was upon it shall be cut off. For the Lord has spoken it. And that pillar. The Bible says, come out of her. Talking about Babylon. Let me give you an example. If I come now, God forbid, and say, guys, this pillar is about to come down. Are you still going to be sitting there? But how come my people are sitting there? God says in the book of someone, he said the prophets prophesy lies. That tale and loves you. And the house is coming down. Praise the Lord. So the next month I said, back to where I said, God raised up the tabernacle of David. And he said in the pillars there that will no more go out. So the end time church can stand against the satanic onslaught of gross darkness without falling, that the nations may come in. I've already explained that. Why is God raising up the tabernacle of David? Or why did David's tabernacle fall down? First of all, Amos chapter 9, verse 11. When that tabernacle, he's talking about a dynasty. Pastor has told us. House of David is not talking about physical building. He fell. Because there was no pillar. Why would a house fall? Why would God say, I'll raise it up again? When Moses raised up the tabernacle, Pastor said, he set the pillars there. In fact, when you are entering the tabernacle of Moses, you see five pillars at the entrance. Speaking of a fivefold ministry. Are we there? It says that, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is falling and close all the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins and I will build it as in the days of old. Next verse. That they may possess the remnant of Edom and all of the Eden which are called by my name, said the Lord of hosts. That read this. In the book of Acts, James repeats the same thing. I don't want us to turn there because of time. Isaiah 2, verses 2 to 4. So in that day, no people say, let us go up to the mountain of the house of the Lord and will teach us his ways. God wants to raise up that tabernacle for the end time harvest that is coming. They are coming to learn the ways of God. Again, you're not talking about 1 million people coming to this physical building. It's church in the air. Yeah. It's church in the air. If 1 million people get born again today, how are you going to disciple them? You cannot, this building cannot contain them. But see, that's why God has given us technology. Those of you on WhatsApp, may God give us understanding why God has given us these tools. So not like children of Israel, when they left Egypt, God gave them gold and silver. But God didn't tell, they just kept quiet. Before they knew it, when Moses went down and collect the pattern, they had built the golden calf. You see, all these appliances, all this technology that God has given us, it's not for you to sit down and then you play with WhatsApp. And I don't know what the man is saying now. I'll see you later. LMAO. All that stuff. That's not why God gave you. At least before if revival begins now, and God should say, Pastor Olopade, our pastor should say, okay, this convert to 50 of them. How is he going to follow them up with his job? It's in the air now. How are the life of the exams? When they resume, I was Ebola virus or something. They were communicating with children via internet, and they had the best results. Understand why God is giving us this. It's not to build a golden calf or to misbehave. Praise the Lord. So why did David tabernacle fall? I said, because he could not raise up pillars. So when the winds came, blew, and the rains descended, and the floods rose, the house came falling down. And God does not want you to fall down. Isaiah 59:21. In this end time, it's not going to follow. It is not going to fall. It's going to be upon our seed. Upon our seed. Unto the third and fourth generation. That's the old essence of having children. I may raise up godly seed. Pillars. It's not to have children because you have a reproach. What reproach? Your reproach will be more if you don't raise them up as pillars. If you don't raise them up as pillars, your reproach will be more. There's a scripture I just come as Proverbs 17, verse 3. It said that a servant shall have rule over his son that bringeth shame and have part of the inheritance amongst the what? Brethren. That's it. A wise servant shall have rule over his son that causes shame and shall have part of the inheritance amongst the brethren. in-house people. Somewhere that I think is in 6, he says of their children's children are what? They are the crown of old men. Put it there. And the glory of children is their fathers. You want to see that word crown? It's not about a physical crown. Paul comes to the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 1. Said, you are my joy, you are my crown. Philippians, put it there. He says that, therefore my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for the joy and the crown. So stand fast in the Lord. I follow me, my dearly brethren. So it's not about the physical crown to inherit. I'm not doubting that. Crown of life. We are pastor's crown. And his joy and his rejoice in that day. That is the crown that the 24 elders will cast before his feet. God don't need no gold. Sons that have come into maturity, in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we are his joy, we are his crown. So a servant will have rule over a son that does what? Causes shame. And he will have part of the inheritance, the borrowed anointing. That's our inheritance. Children's children are the crown of old men. And glory of the children are their fathers. If you look at that word children, if you check it again, it's the word called Ben. Builder of the house. For continuity. Isaiah 59 verse 21. We look at Absalom. Absalom. He messed up big time. Absalom. This 9:59. He says, as for me, this is my covenant with them. Let's read it together. As for me, this is my covenant with them. In this end time, says the Lord, I can add that. My spirit is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, says the Lord, from henceforth and forever. The spirit and the word must not depart from the mouth of your seed. I want to say what I said earlier on. It's not by talk. You command them. You wake up in the morning. You listen. How can you be groaning? I didn't hear anything. When me myself, I'm knocking on the door. I can hear the knock. It's serious business. Oh. The problem that David had was that he was not hard on his children. And they brought him to change him. You see, the Bible says Abraham is God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm not saying that we should criticize them. There's a point you have to be changed from rich to poor. You know, Abraham was the father, Isaac was the rod, so to speak, and Jacob was the reed. But they all changed. That's why I'm considered, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they became fathers. They grew. So there's time for growth. What I'm saying that, you see, before they start going to university, when you don't have time to stay with them, the Bible makes you have put so much in them. So you don't get to school, and then they get there, they say, I'm going CAC fellowship. They don't pray in tongues there. And you know, they will come to church before you, they will bow down like this. You think they are praying, they're not praying. Before you know, they will sit at the back. Then the day will go. Don't wait till the floods come. Oh. Don't wait till winds begin to blow. Don't wait till the day that is, let me use a foolish girl. We'll bring Absalom to the house and we'll say he wants to marry him because Absalom is son of a king. By then it's too late though. Because by then the person is old, the story can say again, it's too late. Look at Absalom. Absalom refused to obey the instructions of his father David. Let me put it this way, he refused to obey the 7 pillars of wisdom. See what he did. You know what he did? He rose up against his father. Somebody that's supposed to have been raised as a pillar to continue. The Bible says that I will raise up again the tabernacle of David. Absalom, pew. I don't need that. Pew. By the time he gave back to Ammon, pew. By the time he gave back to Solomon, it was too late. So I was transiting between reed to rod. It was too late. The Bible says he never spoke against them, just left them. He said, we'll go out at whatever time they come. They will come out. Say they have their own key. I trust my father. You will go out, then you will come in. Italoma's gate. Yeah, go to even my mom. You will go out, then you will come in at 11 o'clock. We still used to go out, oh. We would jump the fence and we would sneak in. What I'm saying is that you're not going to take it easy on them. Because that's spirit and the word. But any other thing else can depart, oh, I don't mind. The video game can depart. Any other thing can depart. But that spirit and the word, oh, it must not depart from your seed and from your seed. I follow him. It must not depart. So what did Absalom do? Praise the Lord. He died of the same thing. The loss of the flesh, the loss of the eyes, and the pride of life. Open the Bible to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 18 verse 14. 2 Samuel chapter 18. I want us to talk about the whole story. He led a rebellion against his dad. And the Bible says they all went into the... It was in the wilderness. Actually took place in the wilderness also. What does he say? I said, Joab. Forget Joab. Joab was just an instrument that the devil used. So that, and then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took three darts in his hand and thrust them to his... Why the heart? Why not his tummy? It's a heart problem. I follow me. Three darts. I follow me. And in his hand, he thrust them to the heart. That wicked heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak of rebellion. The Bible talking about Ephesians chapter 6. It says that you will quench the fiery darts with shield of faith. Where was the shield? The fact that Absalom knew how to fight, he had learned something from his father, did not justify him to raise up a rebellion. Because he knew some things. So if I can do it, me too, I can get with you. Three darts. Loss of flesh. Loss of eyes. The pride of life. Those are the fairy darts of Satan. That he's still using up to today. He was an instructor. He wasn't the father. And when you follow an instruction in rebellion, you end up dying of carnality. 2 Samuel 18 verse 8. The Bible says that those that died that day, they would destroy more than the sword. The woods were carnality. Are we there? So, and the battle was, they are scattered over the face of the country. And the wood devourer, Satan, carnality, devoured more than people that day than the sword devoured. So it wasn't so much as David fighting. But all those are following the instructor. I was saying, come out of from among them and be separate. Talk about, don't be particular of their sins. Says, come out. They are in rebellion. Babylon is in rebellion and it's coming down. Now look at what this foolish boy did. God forgive me. You know what he did? He now raised up a pillar in the king's veil. You know what he said? Absalom, 2 Samuel 18:18. You know what he did? Because he could not raise sons. Look at what he did. Let's read together. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a what? Pillar. Physical structure. Why? Which is in the Kingsdale Valley. For he said, I have no son. That means pillars are sons. And that is clear from scripture. Are you following me? You know, I have no son to keep my name. Say, well, I've kept my name. You know, it's Revelation chapter 3. You know, I think. Kept my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name. And it is called unto this day Absalom's place. Now, didn't Absalom have children? He had. But understood the principle that had missed God. 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 27. He repeated exactly what his father did. What was it? He said, and unto Absalom there were born three what? Sons. That was before. And one daughter whose name was Tamar. She was a woman of a fair countenance. He understood that they had missed it. So he wanted the name to continue from seed to seed. So he raised up a physical pillar. Too late. He should have raised up his children. But you cannot give what you don't have. He did not, he didn't allow David to raise him. So how can you raise somebody? It's not possible. There's a disconnect there. It's not possible. If you're coming to church and are not operating this principle of perfection, how can you raise your children? Don't let deceive ourselves. Don't let deceive ourselves. If you are coming here on, if you're not coming here on Tuesday, I expect your children to come. You're not praying. I believe in God that they will pray. How will they pray? Let me ask another question. Is someone to sit down and think about? Jesus Christ had the full anointing. Those about under him, the operator, including Judas. Am I right or wrong? If you are in this house, that should be a measure of the prophetic and apostolic grace on your life. It's your bad sitting bed. And to sit down and ask questions, Lord, something is wrong. You know why? When the spirit without measure comes, the same thing will repeat itself. What is available now, you are not partaking of it. Is when the fullness that comes that will now change? It's what it is. If you need to sit down and ask the question, Lord, something is wrong. Nothing from without can defile a man, but something from within. You need to sit down and call a meeting and tell yourself, no, there's something wrong here. It's not because God prefers this person. Not because God prefers this person. No. Even if you at least must see something, you must be able to read your Bible and understand. Even if it's a blade, like the person was sharing, you must understand. If you don't understand, look, check your heart before those darts are thrown at you. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. Third point. So that under them, we can lean on them for support, strength to establish them, to us rather, and protection, in order for us to grow from a reed, safely to become a pillar. Why is God raising up these pillars of smoke? So that we can lean on them. If you are a reed, you need somebody to lean on. If you are a rod, you need somebody to lean on. You need these pillars of smoke. They are the wise master builders that God is raising up. It's to our advantage. If you don't take advantage of what God has brought before you, then you won't enjoy the benefits. And you'll be the one to blame. For protection, let's see 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 17. We're using types and shadows. I hope I still have a few more minutes. 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 17. Solomon did something. Are we there? He says, and he reared up the pillars before the temple. Not outside. Like Pastor Clay was sharing about those two rods. A rod that Jacob set before the ship. All those that drank were changed. All those that did not drink went to Laban. Separation. That separation is taking place in the body of Christ now. Worldwide. Not everyone drank. Oh. Some of those ones drank. All Jacob's lawyer just pushed them there. So some drank. Drink strict, they changed, they were gave back. Those that did not drink, give them to Laban. So when the change came, they all moved and they all pressed in Laban's house. What does he say? He says that, and he reared up the pillars before the temple, one on the right hand and the other on the left, and called the name of that on the right hand Jason, and the name of that on the left Boaz. Put in amplified, this does not explain it properly, amplified of this same verse. Says he erected the pillars before the temple, one on the right and the other on the left, and called the one on the right Jason. He shall what? Establish. And the one on the left was in it is strength. So you see these two pillars here? Just typology. In this house, God has given them to establish in them his strength. Romans chapter 1:11. Paul was saying, I long to see you. Romans 1:11. Says, I long to see you that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. If he didn't, that means if he didn't impart that thing, they will not be established. They will remain rich forever. So it's very important for us to be established. Their love work covers the multitude of our sins. I mentioned that when you lean on this super pillar, they are for protection. I'm talking about experience, something that happened recently, and God spoke to me. We see from the negative, but let's see from the positive.
First Corinthians chapter 5 verse 5, it says, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. That same power that delivers to can deliver from.
Understand that. Don't see from a negative. He said that deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved. So if I say, when you are gathered together, my spirit with the power of Lord Jesus Christ, deliver him. So he could have said, when you are gathered together, my spirit Lord Jesus, deliver such a one from Satan. Understand it. There is authority in covering. I'm not, look, listen, you don't need to wait for a bitter experience for you to understand and learn through affliction. It may be difficult to recover. It may be very difficult to recover. I can remember, I just mentioned in passing, you see, there is this pipe on the spirit, God brought to my memory, I remember when Muhammad Ali used to be Cassius Clay, and he fought, Iron Cooper. I had been boasting. I will do this, I will do that. Eric Cooper had this left hook. Was very bad. Eric's hammer. Thank you, sir. He just gave Muhammad Ali boom like that. Some of you are looking at me like, why are you talking about boxing? The Bible talks about it now. See, I'm not beating. I'm not fighting the one that beats there. Just put it on the board. I'll keep on talking. Put 1 Corinthians 9:24 on the board. Put it on the board. Amplify. So you'll be reading it while I'm talking. Are you following me? So I'm going to illustrate the point. Don't look like, why are you talking about boxing? I follow him. He said that, put 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. He said, do you not know that in a race, all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run the race, your race, that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. Next verse. Listen, no. Amplify, listen, change. Say, now every athlete who runs, training, blah, 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 blah. Say, next verse. This is what I want to get to. Why talk about boxing? Listen. Therefore, I do not run uncertainly without definite aim. I do not box like one beating the air and strike without adversary. There's an adversary we are fighting against, too. When you're coming to pray, you have to visualize. You're not just beating the air aimlessly. Are you following me? Next verse. But like a what? Boxer. So she boxes in the spirit. She be floating like a butterfly and stinging like a bee. Your hands can't hit what your eyes can't see. Now you see me, now you don't. Yes, yeah, so I just give Satan a dig back, then you just hide again. Are you following me? So he said, in the cleft of thank you, we're going to get to that. You see, but even the best of boxers make mistakes. What made Muhammad Ali the great was not because he was the best fighter, but he had a good coach. Angelo Dundee. Is this fight you are talking about? I want to check. When God brought it to my mind, I'm going to go and check it. This white, great white hope, Andrew Cooper, he went to the fight without a coach. Go and check it on the web. There was nobody training. So when they were fighting round 4, he just gave Muhammad Ali this left hook. He was cautious again. What saved that was that his hand just held onto the rope. He didn't daze him. Bah! He lost. He just went like this. You know what the coach, Angelo Dundee, he just ran into the ring. It was 2 seconds to the end of round 4. You know, if God and his sovereignty are not allowed his hand to hook to the rope, he would have fallen on the ground and have passed out. Immediately the coach saw him. He ran into the ring and held him and just took him to the corner. And he took smelly salt. He was not supposed to do it, though. He put it on his eyes. Then the house rang the bell. He said, the coach came, why isn't he getting up? He said, the gloves are torn. Oh, your gloves, man. You need trainers. So when you are hit in the battle, they know what to do to get you back into the fight. Hey! Now there's fight, the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And now, there's a fight to fight too. There's a course to finish. And there's a faith to keep. That's the hope of perfection. When you're running a race, don't drop the bat, you know. There's a fight where you need serious warfare. But if you don't have a good coach or trainer like Angelo Dundee, like that other guy, they didn't tell him. He would have finished earlier. He was a very great fighter. Very, what we call him the greatest. What made him great was not because he was so intelligent. He was good, naturally. Or because he was his coach. The guy just quickly rushed to the ring against all rules, brought him back to the corner, sat him down, put this thing in his eyes so he can quickly recover.
By the time the referee came and said, "What?" He said when he asked him later, he said the thing was torn a bit. And I thought, he said, so when they were looking for new gloves, I was buying time. That's what you said.
So by the time Ali came to himself,
he had recovered. He went back and knocked out Cooper. Thank God for spiritual angelodonies. Now, at times that he will beat Ali, I will push them back. You see, it was this guy, Tyson, that said something. He said, everybody thinks he has a plan, or he gets punched in the mouth.
All of us, we think that we are okay. Until something happens,
bear to your spiritual angelodonies.
We can get you okay and push you back into the fight. Go and finish the fight. So, you see, it's not wrong to...
Don't go and start boxing, please. Praise the Lord.
So, that is very, very important for us to understand. The other aspect again is that, you see, in this same battle we are in, you're in that covering. It's very important. When Joshua was fighting, he said something. He was supposed to destroy, I think it was the Amorites. And the Israelites could not finish. He said, "Sun, stand there. Moon, stand there. I need your covering to finish this battle." Whoa. "Sir, I need your covering to finish." If his son had gone down, we would have lost that fight. So he said, "Sun, stand on the valley of Ajalon. My moon, stand on this. I need both to finish that battle." So you need the steadfast to stand in their place. God has set them there. And they are standing with the light beaming on you. So I can fight the good fight of faith by laying over the entire life and finish your course. I can say like Paul, "Now I know it's laid up for me a crown of righteousness that not only me, God will not only give me, but will give all those that love his appearing." When the time of his appearing is very important for the sun and the moon to stand over you in the day of your battle. Praise the Lord. Let's look at this example, Jehoiada and Joash. I'm trying to, when I was praying, God said, "You need to tell people about the importance of covering." That's what I'm trying to talk about. So we don't despise covering. Let's open our Bible to the book of 2 Kings chapter 11 verse 1. Talking about the father-son relationship. Are we there? It says, "And when Athaliah, the mother of Isaiah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal seed." She killed all of them. I don't want to go into the story. But there was one boy called Joash. They hid him in the ceiling. So there came a time that this man, Jehoiada, picked that boy and put him on the throne. See what he did. Verse 4. It says that, "And the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and fetched rulers over 100 with the captains and the guard, and brought them to him in the house of the Lord, and made a covenant with them, and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's son." Next verse. "And he commanded them, saying, 'This is the thing that you shall do. A third part of you that enter in on the Sabbath shall even be keepers of the watch of the king's house.'" Next verse. I want us to rush. We say, "And a third part shall be at the gate," you know, blah, 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 you know, "behind your glad," you know, "and two parts of all of you that go forth on the Sabbath, even they shall keep the watch of the house of the Lord about the king." Next verse. "And it shall do what? Compass what? The king round about. Every man with what? His weapons in his hand. And he that cometh within the ranges, let him be slain. And be ye with the king as he goeth out at his cometh in." That's what covering does. That's covering. Just said, I don't have 12 legions of angels. Everybody has it, but we can't use it. You don't have your, you don't, you can't. Peter did not have the capacity to release 12 days of angels. Except, so what just I would do in the morning, we'll pray, just encompass them about, because they are kings and priests. Just like we are. Are you following me? Yeah, like Elisha. Verse 14. "See, and when she looked at Athaliah, behold, the king stood by what? A pillar. As the manner was for support. Because ordinarily Athaliah would have killed him. And the princes and the trumpeters by the king and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew the trumpet. Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, 'Treason, treason.' They took her and they killed her." Now look at what happened when this man died. iPhone. Look at what happened when this guy died. When this guy died, okay, look, 2 Corinthians chapter 24, verse 1 and 2. How old was this boy when Joada put him on the throne? Says Joash was 7 years, baby to little child. And when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years, Jerusalem, his mother's name also was Ziba or Bathsheba. So if you're in a situation where you think you are gifted, you can sing, or even you can preach, recognize that you are leaning on the pillar. And there is Jehovah that is behind you, that is compassing you round about, or else Ataliah will have dealt with you. As I speak to yourself, I speak to myself. Bible said, let us be sober. The adversary goes about looking for whom will devour, looking who can sow pride in your heart. You too now, you can go and start this. As the wind. Second, let's move to verse 10. Lord, Holy Spirit, help me. Jehoiada, 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 15. When that man died, when the covering was no more there. This same guy that did, if I don't want to go into what he did, he just changed. So you see, when you are under covering, and you have changed, there's so much supplement that you are getting from covering. You get to walk. It happens many times. I know you are from Olubi Johnson, so that's how they say it. I don't mean to say it in a reverential way. I want more Olubi Lele, which is sorrow. Let that thing move away. I want more Shulele. So you can understand what I'm talking about. I never said that way. Is it because when you go somewhere and things are happening, either you're in school, just it's beef. And you go to this one, B, everything just walking around with, there's something about you. I'm going to be super. What is so bad? I know I'm only Johnson. In sorrow. Move out of covering for a few minutes. They say, sure. So what am I saying? See, 15, let's hurry up. It says that Angel that waxed old and was full of days, and when he died, 130 years old, when he died, and they buried him in the king's sepulchre. Next verse. I don't know where to pick it. So after his death, the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. And the king hearkened unto them. I follow him. After that man died, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served gods and idols. This is a man that for 40 years under covering could change. He leaned on the pillar, but he did not become the pillar. So when covering was taken away in God's sovereignty, which will happen oftentimes, there are some battles you have to fight. And God said, covering, hold on. By yourself. The just shall live by faith. So when God moved out of that covering for some time, the guy misbehaved, went to idolatry. The worst thing I did is that he killed that man's son. Can you imagine? And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah. That's that Jehoiada's son, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, thus said the Lord God, why transgress ye commandments? Back up. Why were reading before? 21. Say, why? 21. This 20. Okay. And the Lord God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest. That man carried his father's anointing. He carried his. He became a priest, like his father. And he says that, which stood above the people, and said unto them, thus said God, why transgress you the commandment of the Lord, that he cannot prosper, that he cannot prosper, because you have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. Next verse. And they conspired against him, and stoned him with stones, at the commandment of the king, in the court of the house of the Lord. That thing was so bad, that Jesus Christ came in the New Testament. He said, for the blood of Zechariah, whatever Zechariah, he said, you will answer for it. God was not pleased. But there was no more covering. The time we have now is to go to become pillars. Because if you don't become a pillar, don't say it can't happen to me. It's the same nature. It can happen to half someone, it can happen to anybody. When Pastor Kuno was preaching on Sunday, I was there. I was tears were coming out of my eyes. When I was talking about Hezekiah. Let me say this way, so I'm not interpreting. You are in a football match. You've been injured. I could say, please remove that guy. We need to win this match. I said, I will play very well. I said, okay, go back. Then instead of you to go and score, you start dribbling. And after the game, the announcer said that, the game has finished. You say, God now sends your coach to you. You know, I say, eh, well, at least I finished the match. That was the guy did, though. 9 minutes, so to speak. God, he said, don't you know, because I will play out. I say, God sent the dean of prophets in the Old Testament, Isaiah. Go and give him 15 more years. So it wasn't as if he did not know. He knew he had 15 years to set up a legacy. To put in order. Or they will have put him on the bench and put somebody else. Like, this is a match you must win. So, okay, I'm giving last chance. Go and play. So they bandage his leg. I'm using football as a typology. They put all those things. They sprayed it. He drank that. He ran back. Oh, yeah. They passed the ball to the guy. 15 minutes to go. 15 years, 15 minutes. Does it make sense for him to shoot and aim? The guy starts dribbling. Like Okocha in front of the goalpost. Are you following me? Babylon now comes and says, he shows them everything. Then Isaiah now says, ah, what have you done? He said, anyway, I finished the match. He will not enter my Jerusalem. Isaiah says something. He said, look, come. He said, what you have done, your sons will be taken to Babylon and will make them eunuchs. He created a promise for Daniel. That's what happened to Daniel, though. Daniel was not married in Israel. They castrated him all because of what this funny guy did. Now he said, Ezekiah, what about us? The one has come and pastor has said this entire program will be wrapped up in the next 30, 40 years. And maybe at one point in time in your life, you had a difficulty and God showed you mercy. He says, go back to the game. Instead of it to run the race that is set before you, he starts misbehaving around the whole place, like Ezekiah, amassing wealth. Bible says, it's high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. He said, shake off the dust. He said, shake yourself of the dust. He said, do not make provision for the flesh. Romans 13. You feel yourself let off. So if you've gone through a difficult time, God, you know, at least God, maybe you are going in a car, there was an accident, the only one that was saved. Not just thank you, God, you delivered me. No! Get back into the mat and win. Yes. Don't do what this guy did. Yes. So to speak, 9 minutes, 15 minutes, 15 years. Yes. Long gig, amassing wealth. But if it's long life, will that satisfy you? And the reason is because so I can show you my salvation. If you're not living to experience what we're talking about, there's no point hanging around. That's why two thoughts will be cut off. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, you take it away. Every branch in me that bears fruit, you purges it. So that may be for more. So you might be going through a purging. That means you're on the way to becoming a pillar. But every God does not wish us so. But you see, the good news is that if you are still alive, you have not been taken away, that means that the purging will bear fruit. Praise the Lord. Don't give one more year. Praise the Lord. So that is very important for us to know. The other aspect of covering that God spoke to him personally during this period of time, I was reading my Bible in the morning. I was just reading, you know, a very critical day of my life recently. I opened my Bible to read Proverbs chapter 30, verse 26. Because you may say, some of this is Pastor Jerry, I don't understand it. There is a way of escape. It's not only watch and pray. Covering is the way of escape. So say, I watch and pray. How many times have you watched? Have you been diligent in doing it as you ought to? Proverbs chapter 30, verse 26. Let's read together. The cornice are but a feeble folk. Yet they make their houses in what? Rocks. Does God care for cornice? Does God care for ox? Like Paul said. Say they're a feeble folk. Somewhere in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14 says, comfort the feeble minded. Those that are weak in the mind don't have revelation. They are weak. Says that it strengthens you the feeble knees. So if you are weak, which we are all, he said, make your house in the rock. In earlier verses, there are four things that are too wise for me. Be wise and build your house in the rock. So the Corinthians are a feeble folk. They are feeble, feeble minded. They don't have revelation. They don't fully understand what we are talking about. And if you think you understand it, still do what the Bible says. See yourself as a Corinthian. He said, what did they do? He said, they build. They're not just visiting. They build their house in the rock. Why? Because of predators.
Isaiah 32 verses 1 to 4. I begin to round up. Isaiah 32 verses 1 to 4. What is that rock talking about? Because the king shall bring in righteousness and priests shall rule in judgment. Next verse. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of waters in dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary place. Same thing. Don't see that power to deliver. I can deliver from. So as a calling, what do? You build your house in the rock. Are you following? Next verse. And the eyes of them, the callings, shall no more be dim, and the eyes of them that hear shall hearken. You start obeying. Next verse. The heart of also the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers, they are praying in tongues, shall be able to speak plainly. When you build your house in the rock, if you are a kone, we are all konis. We are just learning to fight. So when you get punched, know where to run to. So the other aspect, this one leads us now to the fourth point. God wants to pour out the former and latter rain in this season of Feast of Tabernacles, so we can grow and become pillars of smoke. You see, you're not going to become a pillar if God does not pour out that rain. Pastor, we were sharing with us about the doctrine on Sunday from Deuteronomy 32. I don't want to go there. It said, my doctrines are distilled as rain. Zechariah 10:1 says that, ask ye of the Lord, rain in the time of latter rain, and it shall make bad clouds. You see, you ask for rain. You sit down in your room, say, ah, God, please give me rain. I want to go to the perfection of the fullness of Christ. God says, no, I'm going to give you pillars of smoke. That, what does that mean? Understand. Let me come again. You need to understand what I said. So people say that, I meet you, I have your Holy Spirit. I know what God is telling me. So God, give me revelation to go to the perfection of the fullness of Christ. God says, ask for rain in time of latter rain, and I'll give you rain. Is that what it says? That means you can't get it unless through the bright clouds. Understand it, oh. Me too, I have the Holy Ghost. Me too, I'm praying. You are like Eric Cooper that went to a match without a trainer. You've lost the match. Say, ask ye of the Lord, Zechariah 10:1, please. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. And the Lord will make bright clouds. Zechariah 10:1. Say, ask ye of the Lord rain in time of latter rain. So the Lord shall make rain, no, bright clouds, and give them showers of rain from the bright clouds to everyone grass in the field. Instructions come from the pillars of cloud. You can get bits and pieces here, but it's not going to sustain you in this hour of temptation. Get mercy drops. So we are not saying that you can't get something from God. But the rain that you need in this time of latter rain is not going to come to you directly. It's going to come from the bright clouds. Since we are talking about. Proverbs 16:15 says, in light of the king's countenance, there's what? Light. Says, in the light of the king's countenance is life. And his favor is like a cloud of what? The latter rain. That's how it's going to come. If there's any other way you think it can come, I want you to see me at the end of the service and let me know. Why I'm taking the time to explain these things is so that we don't have all these things in our hearts, thinking that you can survive alone. Be careful so we don't get punched in the face. Serious. And if you notice also, Jesus Christ, he was in the same set time of Tabernacles, Feast of Tabernacles, that he said the same. He said, my doctrine is not mine. John chapter 7, verse 2. See, the kind of rain that God wants to pour out in this day is a deluge that will accelerate the growth from being a reed to becoming a pillar. A highway to Zion. Thank you, sir. So you are asking for rain, God will give you the cloud. You can't have rain without cloud. Isn't that sensible? So why do you want to have instructions without the Father? Can you have rain without the cloud? Take away the crown, that's the end of rain. No rain. Say, God, I want wisdom. God is saying that, keep the instructions of your Father. And say, I don't need any Father. Then you have no instruction. You can't have the wisdom that you need. wọ́n tọmọ dé bá láṣọ jà gbà lọ kú ìlàkísà tó gbà. They've gone through all that route. So why do you want to reinvent the wheel and then die in the process? There's no time to reinvent the wheel. If you remember, just comes to my own mention, just when Joshua was fighting, you know, and they took Moses to the mountain and he sat down and his hands were getting weary. It was everyone and all that lifted up his hands and Joshua was winning. Each time his hands came out, Joshua lost. Moses told them after they rebelled, he said, "I'm going to fight." He said, "Don't go. This is presumption." He said, "We will go. We will go." Moses said, "If you go, you're on your own. I'm not following you." They killed them. Now look at my business. John chapter 7 verse 2. Have we there? It says 7:2. Let's start from 2. Let's see the context in which this happened. 7:2 says, "Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand." We are looking forward to September into October right now. God is saying, "Say not in your heart that the harvest is just 4 months away." Say, "The fields are already white for harvest." Say, "Look up, the fields are white for harvest." So don't say September, October, it's too long. No. The rains have already come. Move on to verse 14. In that same context, 7:2-14, say, "Now about the midst of a feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught." We should be expecting his appearing now. Next verse. "And the Jews marveled, saying, 'How knew this man letters, having never learned in this same time of tabernacles?'" Why? There was rain. It was just pouring out the rain. Next verse. "And Jesus answered them and said, 'Well, my doctrine is not mine, but he that sent me.'" Link that to Deuteronomy, Pastor was sharing. Next verse. It says, "And any man, if any man will do his will, he shall know of a doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." It's not the same context. On the last day, the great day of the feast, that same feast of tabernacles, what happened? 38. The verse before, 37. "In the last day, the great day of the feast of tabernacles, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.'" Next verse. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of the belly shall flow rivers of living water." The feast is about to begin. It has even started. The rains are beginning to pour out from the clouds that God had raised up. We have a choice now to gather together in unity under the cloud. I begin to allow ourselves to begin to drink of that rain. It is the doctrine. Miracles just don't happen. They happen based on instructions, divine instructions. If a mechanic comes down now, if there's a problem with your car, you say, "Oh, this is this, let's change, then the thing will start working. If you want to see the dead race, this won't happen. It's going to come from the doctrine. When you understand, this is how you do it. That's why just another made a mistake. The only thing that limited him was that if God says, "Don't do this one," so I won't do it. That's how here I judge. But you understand the principle. If I got this and this, this will happen. If I pray in faith, this will happen. That's again the snare we have to watch when the spirit of that measure comes. It does not give us liberty to do anything. That's why I could go to the pool of Bethesda and raise one person. It was at Gethsemane. He was praying. Because there are going to be times that even the spirit of that measure is not going to be convenient to do the will of God. He said, "Don't you think I have the power to 12 legions of angels?" Because he had the spirit of that measure. To deliver myself, there are some times that God moves that place and I expect not to do anything. Just keep quiet. If he had released those angels and he had delivered himself, you know what would have happened? He would have still died though. He would have gone to hell, but God would not raise him up. He would have been outside the will of God. It's a fact though. Don't be religious. That's why I was struggling with it. God, let this thing pass from me. Not my will, but your will be done. If he had exercised his own will, he would have gone back like John the Baptist, continue doing miracles, and Herod would have beheaded him. But thank God, Jesus is not. That was why God was justified. So there are sometimes when the spirit of that measure comes, it does not give liberty to do anything. You have to be subject to the person. That's why you have to, first of all,
under the border. I can't just wake up tomorrow and say, I want to come and preach. No. I have to wait for a pastor and say, Joey, go and preach. That's the check. We all have a hitch to preach. I can't wake up tomorrow and say, I'm going to go and start the church. No. That's the check. To be left alone is like, thoughts come to your mind, those arrows will come, they start something God not tell you to start. That's the check. I can sing. Okay, no, you're not singing this song today. Choir. This is what I want you to sing. That's the check. By the time the spirit of measure comes, you're not going to do your own thing. I'm not saying you sing your own song. I've just given an example so you can understand what's about to happen. Praise the Lord. So, basically, that's it. And then last point, it is with this inheritance, the spirit of measure, that are going to inherit the nations of the world. Paul says, ask of me, I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. The measure of the heathen that we have now is because of the earnest we have. When the fullness comes, we're going to inherit nations with the kings upon Zion's old ear. Time has gone. In the book of Psalms 2. That's what we need it for. Says, after the glory, Zechariah 2:8, shall he send me to the nations. Now, how will these things happen? We'll talk about the importance of it. How will it? Very simple. And I will close. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. We started with Songs of Solomon, SOS. We end with the same SOS. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Let's read together. Obey them when you feel like it. No, let's read now. Everybody kept quiet. I wonder about my own Bible. Say, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they will do it with joy and not with grief. For that's important for you. They are watching for our souls. Just like a natural person, father, watching for the souls of his children. He wants to take the car out to go and race. Give me the key. The child will not like it. Now all my friends are running around. You are too young for that. Give me the key. Spiritually, it's the same way. Why? Because they will give an account. That's the fearful thing there. When you understand it from that point of view, then you submit. You see, you can't go and meet somebody that God not commit your soul to. He's not watching for it, so he can't advise you. I follow me. He said they work for your soul. When Paul was going around, he could not answer for those that were under James in Jerusalem. James was watching for their soul there. Paul was watching for his own soul. When one soul left and he recognized, bring back John Mark to me. I'm still watching for his soul. Profit for me. Say they are watching for your soul. Somebody comes and says, please advise me. I don't know what you do. I'm not watching for your soul. I'm not the one that will give an account. Pastor Jay, can I marry this person? I don't know. I'm not watching for your soul. I'm not the one that God will give an account. It's not me. Go and meet those that are watching for your soul. So how do we do this? We see from that scripture. Submission, obedience, and then operating in seven pillars of wisdom. That's why I said SOS. Let's say together. Submission, obedience to the instruction, and then obeying the seven pillars of wisdom. Those are the basic things we need to do. It's very simple. God has not asked us to do something that is very difficult. Say submission. Having an attitude of humility. Say, esteem them very highly for their work's sake. Very important. Obedience. Obey their instructions. Proverbs 4:1 says, oh, my son, obey the instruction of your father. Say, later on, say, instruction is your life. Say, hold fast to instruction, for she is your life. Then that is, you cannot become a pillar if you don't obey the operating seven pillars of wisdom. How can you become a pillar? Are you following me? It seems logical. Am I right? You want to become a pillar and not do seven pillars of wisdom. It's not possible. And last, now just mentioning and go, is that you must honor them with your tithes and offerings. Because you need that open heavens. The Bible says, know them that labor among you in the world. Count them worthy of double honor. Paul was talking when those guys were misbehaving. He said, you guys, you don't understand though. Is it because I'm not? He said, does God, he said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads the corn. He said, does God care for ox? I won't say more than that. So it's very important for us to submit to what God is about to do. The pillars of smoke are coming out of the wilderness.
Praise the Lord. Let's bow down to pray. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's ask God for help. It's not easy, but let's ask God for help because of the same nature. Everybody has an Absalom spirit in him that wants to do his own thing or that wants to take the throne before it's done. Let's ask for help. It's an independent spirit and it's a heart issue. And there are fiery darts flying around the place. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They are aiming right at the heart of Absalom. But if you learn like a coney to build your house in the rock, you'll be saved. Thank you, Jesus. God. If there is a disconnect, the power will not flow. So the power is not flowing, you need to go and find out where it's not flowing from. Case in point. If something should happen to the power line at Elele, maybe a car should hit one pillar or something. You can be living in a Bodija. You don't have light. But the problem is not in Bodija. You have to go back. So if the power is not flowing, you go and check where it is from. So we'll sing it one more time and we'll pray. God is building a people. One more time. Right hand to heaven. At one level or the other, we have been guilty of this. At one level or the other, we have been guilty of this. We have not been guilty, we have seen the manifestation, a greater manifestation of the Spirit of God. That's what it means. So if you have not seen it, that means connections are yet to be knit together. Perfect. It's not to condemn, but it's just to go back and work on it. For the purpose of becoming a pillar and fulfilling God's end time purpose for the church. Praise the Father, we confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me once again, reminding me of the end time apostolic and prophetic fathers that you are raising up who will carry your glory. I also understand that it is only as I follow them by submitting to them with a humble heart and obeying their instructions that you will keep me under their covering in this hour of temptation, that I might grow to become a pillar of cloud in your temple. Father, I understand. I ask for mercy and I ask for grace to enable me to be more diligent and faithful to submit and to obey them, so that you can indeed make me a pillar in your temple, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Thank you.